Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, aka Wazzy Lambre, and I'm joined by my brother on the west side, Nando Vila. What's up, bro?
Doing good. Excited to be on the pod, baby.
Yes. Let's pod it up. So today's show, we're gonna generally keep it light today. There's no major news outside of wars in Europe and you know, like just your typical craziness. But I did see a couple of funny ass news items that I wanted to talk to Nando specifically. One relating a real estate development in New York that I just find to be absolutely just comical, hysterical, insane, whatever. And then, but first, man, I wanted to talk about this stuff that's going on with Elon Musk and Twitter. You guys know Elon Musk, aka allegedly the world's richest man. He's allegedly worth $270 billion. He's the founder, CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, and he's kind of a bit of a Twitter troll. And you know, he's gone on Twitter to do stuff like drive up the price of Dogecoin, which we all know was a pump and dump. We've seen him do all kinds of ridiculous, crazy things. But the latest thing he's done is he's purchased a 14% stake in Twitter for $3 billion. Initially, it was reported that he's going to join Twitter's board. But then there were like some stipulations that he had to like basically behave in like a fiduciarily responsible manner. And so he backed out, and there's all this like ridiculous back and forth, and he's threatening to buy more stock. Like he's threatening a hostile takeover, which just doesn't really seem like what he's actually trying to do. It's just all so weird, so stupid, and so funny. Like these dudes are so bored. They're so rich for no reason. I'm just confused by this whole story, Nando.
Waz, if you had $1 billion, how much time would you spend on social media?
None.
Like, if you had one, just, yeah. Like, I would be like,
I guess perhaps I'd still be on Hinge and Raya. I guess theoretically. Right.
You'd definitely be on Raya. You know, or you'd get access to the one that they don't let you hear about.
Exactly. You know, like, yeah, of course. But, theoretically, yeah, but that doesn't count. Yeah.
That doesn't count. Maybe you'll scroll Instagram every once in a while or whatever. But like, will you be like responding to people on Twitter, you know, like for your bad take on the NBA or whatever? You know, that's what's so crazy to me is like, if I had $1 billion, I can think of so much cool shit that I'd be doing all the time. Like, oh, it's a Tuesday. I'm going to fly to Paris and have like this incredible, I don't know, like cool shit, staring at my computer screen all day, responding to Twitter eggs. But yeah, I mean, it's just like a very indicative thing in our time that we live in this political reality in which we can be mere bystanders to the battles that go on amongst the billionaire class. You know right. what I mean? Like Elon Musk like decides, oh shit, like I'm not even gonna blink and I'm gonna buy 10% of Twitter and get on the board of directors and then just like, you know, make all these like changes that I want to do. And we could just be like, yeah, okay, yeah, this is like one of our most important public forums. You know, this is where like political discussion happens. This fucking weird ass billionaire could just like come in and just change it or do whatever the fuck he wants with it. That's normal. Like that's our life. That's our life these days. I mean, this from the article, it's so funny. He was like the the filing followed. This is from the New York Times. Wait, no, sorry. He said that he wanted to take out the W
in Twitter.
and to make it, because Mr. Musk leaned into that freedom after his decision was communicated to the company on Saturday morning. He proclaimed on Twitter that he was in, quote, goblin mode, and suggested changes such as removing the W from the company's name to make it more vulgar and opening its San Francisco headquarters to shelter the homeless. He later deleted some of the posts. And it's good. It's good that our billionaires are just epic meme bros, you know? Like, that's what it is. That's the political reality we live in today.
It's just one of these weird things. And then, you know, elsewhere in the article, they explain like Twitter's ripe for this kind of thing. Like, this couldn't happen at Facebook because or Google, because those founders, Zuckerberg was like, no, I'm always going to own 51% no matter what. Therefore, I will always be the god of this company. Like, nothing will happen that I don't want to happen. That's just the way he's always structured it. But like, and Twitter's been, you know, party to hostile takeovers, you know, venture capitalist activism before, right? That's what got Jack Dorsey fired from his role as chief executive officer, which, like, what is he actually doing in that role? Would he actually be doing in this role these days, Nando?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Twitter, how does Twitter make any money? Like, I guess they have ads and stuff.
Yeah, they got ads now. Like, their ad rev isn't. It's the funniest thing, Nando. Like, you know, Google and Facebook make so much from ads. Like, it's so ridiculous and astronomical that Twitter is making like billions in ads a year, and people are like, "Oh, this company's poor. It makes no money."
Fucking suck. Yeah. Oh man, it's just the other thing that reminded me of like just how weird our time is that Elon Musk has 81 million followers on Twitter, and I'm like, the fandom of Elon Musk I find to be so mystifying. The people who are like, man, that guy is fucking cool, I love that guy,
he's done one thing. He's made cars with batteries in them that are pretty cool. Like, that's what he did. And, you know, and no disrespect, we've had remote control cars since I was a kid. You know what I mean? This guy wasn't exactly reinventing the wheel here. But no, yeah. It's like, I think people are attracted to his personality, which makes it all the more weird. He's a doofus.
He's a weird doofus guy. Yeah. He like, I mean, also he's just like completely like incoherent. He has like, you see his like Twitter responses and you're like, what the, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about anything. Yeah. Like, it's so weird that this guy is like the evil genius of our time. It's considered like this like rocket science genius. And like, you look at his tweets and you're like, this guy's an idiot. You know, like, it's just, it's so bizarre to me that he is, that he's the guy that we all, that owns all of us. You know what I mean? That that we're just fucking swimming. We're just living in the world that Elon Musk can create again, whenever he wants.
The innovation was battery powered cars. Like, it like, I don't know. I did like the Tesla's thing. I keep saying it every time chance that I get, like, this shit is a scam. Like, this whole thing, we're going to find out, like, there is no space program. Like, nobody's going to Mars for real. This is all just an elaborate joke. And, you know, no different than what the, you know, with the WeWork shit and all of that. And they're going to make the Elon Musk TV show. It's going to air on Hulu and we're all going to tune in like idiots. But like, I just think it's hilarious that this dude could just blow $3 billion on a troll. Like, that's crazy. I think what he was doing was like, I can buy this shit. I can change your behaviors. Fuck you guys telling me how to tweet, threatening to close my account, blah, blah, blah. This is what I can do because I have access to this. Like, $3 billion, guys.
It's nothing to this guy.
Yeah. It's nothing. He just blows it on, again, like literally a meme.
Yeah, I'm always wondering why, you know, he could just do this. Like, why doesn't he just like buy the New York Times? Like, you can imagine right. You know, Elon Musk just buying the New York Times and being like, oh, hey, now it's going to be called the Poop York Times, you know, like, whatever. You know, like, I'd be like, isn't that awesome, dudes? Like,
and by the way, there's nothing to stop him and there's nobody that's going to rein him in. And I feel like we've talked about this in the past on this show. Like, our overlords used to be like better. Yeah. Like, as fucked up as that sounds,
a sense of civic responsibility that completely lost now.
Right, they understood the concept of a public trust and was just like, no, like, those disgusting Jews on the LES, we got to make them parks. Like, those I just can't stand the WAPs, but come on, we got to get them some jobs or something. Like they had a sense that, like, yeah, this underclass, like, we got to do something for them. Like, yeah, they're so unrefined, and, ugh, we got to try to elevate them at some point here.
Yeah, we'll fund a library, you know, like, yes, you know, like, maybe some museums, you know, right, so that the rabble can, like, you know.
Give them some culture.
Yeah. Elon Musk is just like, hey, dude, wouldn't it be cool if I, you know, like, I can't even do his stupid accent, but, like, wouldn't it be cool if I just, like, you know, called it Titter? You know, like, it's ridiculous.
It's really stupid. It's just something I want to talk about with you, because it just so perfectly encapsulate just the weird ass times we're living through, specifically as it, you know, relates to the overlords. Because I think, man, these guys every day expose themselves to be just some of the most ridiculous people. Like, we talked about Schultz, you know, this comparing Starbucks employee benefits package to the blanket that his forefathers had to wear during the Holocaust in the concentration camp.
It's the same, like, thing. This is the same thing.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, clearly, Starbucks is saving people from starvation and death. Like, it's just crazy. Like, the more these people expose themselves and how they really feel, and just the contempt that they have for everybody who isn't basically them. It's just, it's ridiculous, and it's pretty jarring to watch it play out. But yeah, this is really why I wanted to get to today, man.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal, ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So here's the deal. Usually when I do these ad reads, I've never really tried the product until they became sponsors, and then they give us samples and I try them and then I endorse them. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's fake. It's real. I've tried them and I like them, but it's not like I've ever used these things before they became sponsors. Today's a little different. Credit Karma. I'm telling you right now, I've used Credit Karma to fix my credit, to figure out what the problematic things on my credit report was, to pay those things off, to get a loan in order to pay off some of those things, to apply for credit cards, to get credit cards I'll qualify for, to take care of them the right way, and then to make sure I level up. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. I've done this, ladies and gentlemen, and it absolutely works. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, and best of all, it won't affect your credit scores and can save you money. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. I am talking to you as someone who has fixed his credit using Credit Karma before they ever paid me to do this stuff right now. That's right. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers.
I don't know how I came across this article in Architectural Digest, Nando, but it's called 5 Reasons the Affirmation Tower is New York's Most Exciting Real Estate Project. And, you know, if you're listening to this show, you've been inundated with this sort of new agey type of speak that's big on the internet now. Affirmations and, you know, just saying your goals and mood boards and all this new agey shit that's really popular amongst our cohort, right, Nando? Like, you see this type of shit all the time. So, cheers, my brother. Tell Meech I said what up. So, when I see Affirmation Tower, I'm like, oh, God, what is this? What is this? And I just want to read to you some of the highlights of this. This tower has been developed by a guy named Don Peebles. He's the chief operating officer at the Peebles Corporation. And he's one of the biggest real estate developers in New York City. He happens to be a black dude. Whatever, you know, whatever. You do with that information what you will. Just know that, like, the developers and the real estate interests in New York are extremely powerful. They're pretty hegemonic at this point. Like, what they want happens. What they say goes. So I just wanted to read to you, Nando, just a couple of the highlights from the quote-unquote the project that is the Affirmation Tower. First, not only is the statuesque mixed-use building built and funded by black and female-owned businesses, Nando, but listen, this is the Affirmation Tower, but its tenants will be minority entrepreneurs, with the exceptions of course, this is my favorite part, with the exception of the local NAACP offices among Affirmation Tower's earliest tenants. So
This is good. This is good, dude. This is good. This is what this show was made for. This is why you and Mike started the show. That is good. That is good stuff. I did not. Okay, I gotta admit, guys, I was a little busy today. I did not prepare as much as I wanted.
Yes.
I typically do. And Waz just sent me this link, and I was like, I sorry, I didn't have much time to prepare anything. He's like, no, better that you don't know what it is. And
yeah, you're gonna
learn about it in real time. But woke real estate development was not something that I was ready to process.
Wording is so perfect, right? Yeah. It's like it was developed by black people and women who are black, okay? Which again, like they never want you to think of black people as being stratified by class. Like they never, like media doesn't, they just don't acknowledge it, that there is a black poor and working class. There's a black middle class, upper middle class. There's a black elite.
Yeah.
Like that's just a fact. So when they say this building is built and funded by black and female owned businesses and its tenants are minority entrepreneurs, it's just, okay, this hyper elite dude who's basically owns assets that's got to be close to $1 billion. No lie, you can look this dude up. He's basically a billionaire. Again, and its tenants are going to be black entrepreneurs. They don't say nothing about the pricing, how much it costs. Black elites make a building that black elites get to live in. And if you aren't a black elite person, you should just be happy about it. It should just make you feel good that this exists at all.
It's out there. It's, you know, it's out there. It's for you, kind of, but not really. I love this. It was designed by Ghanaian British architect Sir David Ajayi. Ajayi. It's a fucking British dude who's knighted.
Yes.
But he's black.
You should feel all the affirmations from knowing that black people are capable of architecture. I mean, what the fuck? It gets better. There's more to go. A project like Affirmation Tower is long overdue for New York City. This project will be a beacon of diversity for generations to come, says Peebles. Another quote from him. Again, like just hear what this billionaire cocksucking black dude has to say. A project like the Affirmation Tower is long overdue for New York City. The project will be a beacon of diversity for generations to come. Like, what exactly is long overdue? Did rich black New Yorkers not have a place to stay before this?
Yeah, I mean, this is just so sad to hear that, because what's really, like, this is like one of the funniest stories I've ever heard, like, in my entire life. Like, this is incredible that this exists. I love it. But the sad reality is that, like, this is what passes for a housing an inclusive, quote unquote, housing policy. Like, it used to be that, you know, you wanted to do public housing that was, you know, that was built by the state and publicly owned, and the rents were fixed by, you know, not with a profit motive in mind, but with the motive to house people at a decent rate. And New York City, like, built a bunch of public housing more than most other cities in this country. That's out the window now. Now you just need the guy, you know, who's going to hire the fucking knight who's a black guy. And the NAACP office is there.
Right.
And staffed
by a bunch of black elites again. Like, we know this. And Nando, like, we know how this project happened. This dude was like, yo, y'all want to get in on this building? I'm a black face. I'm going to put black faces all on it. We're not going to have to worry about red tape, because woke shit is getting rubber stamped all the time. We're going to call it Affirmation Tower. This shit going to skyrocket in what it's worth, et cetera, et cetera. And boom, we did it. Like, we can just say we put black people in here. Black rich ass people in here. And again, in New York City, where we're just basically have run out of places to build. essentially, in New York City. And, you know, what we are building, we're building for the richest among us, you know. And again, like, it's not like black rich people don't have anywhere to live. Like, they have all of these ghost towers on the West Side that is own.
Was if they live in the rich, like if they live in like the rich apartments in Tribeca or whatever, then they might get microaggressed by the rich white people.
Oh, know? Yeah. Somebody might ask them about their dreadlocks. Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. And then all the benefits of being rich just completely wash off of them, man, though, yeah. Because the minute you're microaggressed, yeah. Like every other great thing about your life disappears. I want to keep going. People says this, people of color and women make up a vast majority of the city's population. But that representation is not reflected in the current architectural and development landscape. It is an all too rare opportunity for us to make the world's most iconic skyline more inclusive than it's ever been before.
Like, what does that mean? How can you make the fucking skyline more inclusive? Like, this is like, literally meaningless. It's like literally meaningless. Like, I don't know. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I love the idea of like that they're gonna do like the skyline, make it more inclusive, and it's gonna be like,
bro,
you know, a building with, like, you know, with like a Rastafari head, and then like another building with, like, a sombrero, you know, like another building with, bro, like an Asian peasant hat, you know.
Bro, yeah, we're not done. We're not done with the fun facts. You're gonna love this one. Out of respect for the 2,996 people who lost their lives on one of New York's most tragic days, the team decided to make Affirmation Tower slightly shorter by spire height than One World Trade Center, a stunning tribute of remembrance and compassion. This is a Dave Chappelle skit.
This feels like a Dave Chappelle skit. This definitely feels like a Dave Chappelle skit. I love the idea of like a victim's family, like someone who's, you know, family members of someone who died in 9/11 being like, can you believe the black guys? They made a tower that's taller than
Taller than the Freedom Tower.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like this, like the tone deafness, the just like, bro, and this is why, like, the show is called Woke Bros. Like, this shit is so dumb. Like, when you just stop and think about it for 2 seconds, like, this is insanity. This was not so ridiculous tidbit. The project's partners agreed that they'd give more than 30% of the construction work to minority and female contractors. That's nice. Actual. All right, 30% of the jobs going to minority-owned companies, female-owned companies, that's fine. Okay, that's actually seems like a benefit to people who aren't, you know, already part of the ruling class. All right, cool.
The best thing they can do is like only do union, if the janitors who clean the building, all that stuff, like that would be a more progressive, yeah.
Yeah, they're serious about the New York City being a melting pot of economic and cultural inclusion, especially when it comes to the sites that represent the city itself. And I want to present to you the very last tidbit from this article. This is truly the best for last, Nando. It's an ode to black culture. The boxes are clad in floor-to-ceiling glass windows that sit within a milky white terrazzo facade whose shape mimics Afro-pics.
Wait, what is that? What is that? I don't know what that is. I don't know black culture enough to understand what that is. An Afro-pics? What the fuck is that? Oh, like literally like an Afro-pic. No way. No way! This reminds me of Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your, you know, like.
Nando, like, we have a movie this like is that. In the pages of Architectural Digest, bro. Like, let me read this to you again. It's an ode to black culture. The boxes are clad in floor-to-ceiling glass windows that sit within a milky white terrazzo facade whose shape mimics Afro-pics. A subtle tribute to Black culture.
It's extremely subtle. It's like the most subtle thing I've ever seen.
Peoples admitted that he sees himself in the shape as he carried such a pick around during his early days in New York throughout the 1970s, Nando.
The Afro pick is a subtle, like, what? Like, that is the least subtle thing I've ever heard in my life. That's like literally, that's what I'm saying. It's like, literally, like, out of like a parody movie, like a Dope Listen Menace, or something.
Listen, this is all you need to know, Nando. If you're struggling in East New York, having trouble paying your rent, if you're having problems in Brownsville, putting food on the table, getting childcare for your kids, if you're having trouble in any of the, you know, 40 projects in Queens, whatever the case may be, just know that you can take the train to Manhattan, look at this new building that the Black elite gets to, that they've made an ode to themselves, and you get to feel affirmed by the affirmation tower, Nando. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it
lovely? The Afro pick tower.
It's perfect. It's perfect. And that's why we try to sort of highlight these things here on the show, man, because these things don't get presented to you like the interests of this Don Peebles dude, they do not align with rank and file Black people. Like, he has a material class interest, and that's what he's interested in. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about the lives of people who aren't part of his social and class strata. Like, what the fuck? Like, but again, in media, this dude, he got a Breakfast Club interview, which I didn't get to watch, but I think I might hate watch at some point.
You here. Gotta watch it. We gotta do like a live.
I might watch this and do the same thing and like do the highlights of it so we can watch it together. Like, this dude is going to represent all of Black America in every media space that he ever enters. And he's going to be like, nah, the path to greatness as a Black person is, you know, pure and utter capitalism. Nothing else. Look, I did it. I'm doing it. I'm even making affirmation towers for other Black people who made it. Like, what are you talking about? You know, it's just crazy.
Oh, man. It's too good. I'm so happy I didn't read anything about this before I hopped on.
It's insane. It's a roller coaster. And, you know, again, like, just so people understand, and we talk about it all the time, like, these are the cats that are going to go on Joy Ann Reid's show and talk about the white privilege.
Oh, Joy Ann Reid's going to get an apartment there.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%. She's gonna have at least one apartment there.
Yeah, the penthouse.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. But, I mean, dude, it's just, I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's kind of like the project of our show is that, like, you know, we believe in our hearts in a sort of inclusive and tolerant worldview. But if you genuinely believe in that, like, if you genuinely care about other people, especially people who are different from yourself, you know, which is what the definition of tolerance is, or, you know, any sort of it's that instinct that you may have is being completely cynically warped by the power structure and weaponized against you to keep you down. Like, this is just a way to obfuscate the real class differences that exist in our society. Like, that's just plain and simple. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's to create the divisions around race rather than class. And which is not to say that racism doesn't exist. Of course, racism exists. But the way to overcome it is by fomenting class solidarity, not by fomenting racial division, right? Like that's just that's the easiest way to counter racism. There's been tons of studies about it all over the place that show that, like, class solidarity, when people who are different races look at each other and they're like, yo, we're getting fucked by the same dude, you know? Like, we shouldn't hate each other, we should hate that dude, you know? That's the guy that we should hate. That's what overcomes, and that shared struggle, the class struggle, is what allows people to build bonds of solidarity beyond their own cultural, ethnic, or religious, or whatever, insert whatever thing into that. And these kinds of projects, the sort of, for lack of a better term, woke projects, I mean, like, is a way to whitewash the evil murder button that, like, a real estate developer has to play. You know, like, a real estate developer wakes up every morning and presses the murder button. You know, like, and so does, like, you know, the CEO of Raytheon. Or you were asking me the other day, like, who is the black guy that Biden nominated from Raytheon to be the the Secretary of Defense? So, like, oh, yeah, Lloyd Austin. He wakes up and presses the murder button every day, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, the fact that they're a black guy doing it, like, means literally absolutely nothing. Like, it's just, like, it's not a victory of anything.
Doesn't make your life feel better that a black guy is the one who's fucking you over if you're black. Like, in fact, it makes it worse. The betrayal is even worse when it's the black guy doing it.
Yeah, it's the Sam Jackson character in Django, you know?
There you go. Anyway, that's our show for today. Make sure you read that article in Architectural Digest. There's plenty more in there. Great stuff in there. Make sure you check out all the other Count the Dings offerings. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings. We're out of here. Peace.
Later.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.